Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy James.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We welcomed a comedian for the first time. We have many returning acts. I'm sure he'll be one of them. Kay Curd, his name is.
Yeah, watch out for him, I think.
Nice guy, a funny man, and big Manchester United fan as well. So you'll hear all of that. Incredibly honest Manchester United fan. Also, Nigel Botherway joined us. Tough booking.
The boom in fishing.
From our own Fisherman's Blues. We looked at some of the reasons why one of the main fishing retailers has had their best ever month in business history. Also, we had a bit of a chat about various things, didn't we, Andy? Covered some ground as always.
Schnitzel.
That's right. So here, random shout of the word, schnitzel. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And can I have that 2 hours of my life back?
Wasn't a stunner, was it?
What a stinker.
Wasn't a stunner of a game between Villa and West Ham. The David Cameron Derby, as it was called today in the Sun. Yeah,
very good. The worst, perhaps he'll take the blame for it, the worst game I've seen this season, really. It's like a lot of those games, when the goal doesn't come. I thought West Ham started, they looked quite sharp. I was thinking that front three, Haller, Anderson and Yarmolenko, is definitely top six. But by the end of it, Yarmolenko had quite an off night. Anderson had to be subbed because of the red card, and it all just fizzled out into nothing. Villa came into the game more. I was very impressed with McGinn, and obviously Grealish is a decent enough player. But
there was a big debate on Drive last night, and it's interesting how polarised people are about Grealish. I saw him in the flesh for the first time.
He's good.
Probably, I thought he was great. Yeah. I thought he was really good. You could see there's a player there in the game against Spurs. Yeah. And I think, I think you saw bits of that last night. He's great on the ball, isn't he? Do you know Mr. Parry's theory that the goal he would have scored at the end, if he'd had his socks pulled up and his shin pads on like every other footballer, it would have given some grip to that ball. But the fact it came off a bare skin, it came off the bare sweaty skin on
his
shin, meant he didn't control it.
It is interesting when a player's been out with a long-term injury, like Lanzini's a terrific player, Lanzini, but they would say it takes 10 games to get back. Yeah. And you could see that last night. He's fit, but he's not fit, if you know what I mean. He's not quite sharp. And, 102 red cards for Mike Dean. I don't know if that record congratulations. I don't think it'll ever be broken. And, that's all I got out of last night's game. Not a lot.
So that was it, was it?
Well, it wasn't a lot in there, really.
Do you think it was a red card? Do you think it was a second yellow? A bit soft, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's how I can run.
It was probably a bit, but it looked like it. It looked... You couldn't really disagree with it, So, in fact, the only thing afterwards, I went after the game, I was speaking to my wife, and she was quite...
What did she think of the game?
She didn't enjoy it, and she didn't enjoy...
Did she watch it, then?
No.
She doesn't normally watch it.
She didn't enjoy the hot and spicy beetroot that she'd bought, which she's so funny, Mum. She says to me, oh, this new hot and spicy beetroot, it's too hot and spicy. So I said, well, why did you buy it? She said, well, I didn't realise it was, I thought it was just the ordinary one that I usually buy. Yeah.
She didn't buy hot and spicy and was surprised by the heat and spiciness of it.
Most people at that point would just throw it away or say, I'll try and struggle through it. Yeah. Or, don't particularly like it. Oh, no, she's taking it back and complaining.
Taking it back because she picked up the wrong one.
Yeah. Saying it's too hot and spicy. I said, not for people who actually intended to buy it.
Okay.
She said, they want feedback.
You are the shopkeeper. This is a new book we're bringing out, Portrait of pavilion, perish the thought. So you are the shopkeeper. Lady buys some hot and spicy beetroot by accident.
Hot and spicy, yeah, come.
By accident, when she actually meant to buy the normal beetroot. And then she comes back to your shop a day later and says, I bought this hot and spicy beetroot by accident, thinking I'd bought the normal plain one, and I don't like it because it's too hot and spicy. Yeah,
exactly.
A, do you give her a full refund? B, throw her out the shop.
You throw her out.
I think you do, don't
that's
you?
That's what I do.
You've got to have some front to go and do that.
You have, really, haven't you? So,
oh,
there you go.
Dear me, good luck. She'll get it, though. She's got a knack, hasn't she?
She's got front.
She'll probably get a £500 gift token or something as well from the supermarket.
I doubt it. And Jurgen Klopp has admitted that he has no skill in the kitchen and has never cooked. Well, so what? He's not a chef. He's a football manager. Who cares?
Honestly, he can probably afford to have a chef, can't he? I would imagine these days.
Yeah, he said, I love eating. Well, most people do. I've never cooked. I was raised with two older sisters and a mother from the Black Forest region.
Obviously. Nice. You must be able to knock up a gâteau,
must
surely.
Be able to knock up a gâteau, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. I have no talent for it. I like eating, but no clue about cooking. Fair enough, really. I mean, what else can you say?
Do you know
say?
We were talking about Aurelio
what
Di Laurentiis?
What a match preview of Napoli-Liverpool that was.
Aurelio Di Laurentiis, the owner, of course, part of the Di Laurentiis movie dynasty. He'll be at the game tonight, the Napoli-Liverpool game, before flying to Seattle for pre-production on a multi-million dollar CGI film based on a relationship between a bear and a woman.
Really?
And I'm thinking, if I'm the woman, I want that to be CGI. Because they say never work with animals or children.
Oh, no.
But never really work with a bear, you would think. Although maybe the bear will have problems. You know, imagine the bear saying, "I, Dino, love, can I have 5 minutes? I can't work with
her.
She's an amateur. Just honestly, five takes for that. You saw her, Dino. She's like, I cannot work with her. Cannot work with her anymore. So maybe the bear's like that. Maybe
it's possible,
a bit lovely.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
And Diego Maradona, he was in charge of his team, Gimnasia, if you want to call them, give it the English pronunciation. And they scored, and he's celebrating like mad, and everybody's celebrating around him. But unfortunately, they lost. They lost 2-1 to Racing.
Yes.
Or Racing, if you want to call them that. And there he is in a incredibly ill-fitting club tracksuit.
Oh, blimey, yeah. Not good, is it?
Not a great look, is it, really? But
he's back in football.
He's back in football.
Why have they given him a job? We'll have a chat with Tim Vickery about this tomorrow, first game.
And again, once again on the weekend at Doncaster Races, there was another one of those things where another fight broke out. You know, it happens so often at Racing.
Bit of a cat fight, wasn't it?
A cat fight, yeah. And then the blokes got involved and the usual, they always look the same. They've always got that ready for court appearance hair.
Oh, yeah.
And short suit, that short jacket.
The short jacket.
It's always
look.
The same people, but except it isn't the same people, but it just looks like the same people.
Really? No Peaky Blinders caps on show?
No, surprising, really. Perhaps they got knocked off in the melee.
They could have done, yeah. So, something to set the listeners on this afternoon. Did you see, I mean, it got a bit of press this, Transport for Greater Manchester last week, I think, as they were building up to the game between Manchester United and Leicester, put on their boards, information boards, the race for sixth they put there. So they called it the race for sixth on their information board,
right, okay.
Which clearly means someone at Transport for Greater Manchester is a City fan.
Oh, yeah, very
and
much.
And you just discover sometimes, you know, you'll read a report in a newspaper or you'll hear someone talking about a game, and it's not the same game you've watched. And you know it comes from a place of they clearly support your opposition club, don't they? They're not a fan of your club.
No, absolutely, yeah.
So if you've got any examples of that, I'd say that's right up there. When you just knew someone you were dealing with was definitely not a fan of your club, and what were the circumstances?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Gary Lineker, I said to Jim earlier on, he's with us tomorrow. Gary will be here Thursday. He'll be popping in on Thursday. Chance to reflect on all the Champions League football and chat about his new book with Danny Baker, etc., etc. So Gary Lineker with us in the studio. Have a good chat on Thursday here on TalkSport. But before all of that, just perusing the papers today, among the business news, this popped up. I don't always peruse the business, but I just saw it. I saw the word fishing. So I thought, okay, well, this is sport in my eyes.
The antenna.
Yeah, the old antenna went up. It says fishing equipment supplier Angling Direct said August was its best ever month. Summer sales rose 3.3% and 26.7% online. They've just opened a new shop. I think they've got 30 shops now. The chief exec said the summer trading conditions have been favourable, with the weather having been good. Tackle sales very, very buoyant at the moment.
It's quite a wet summer, really. But
yeah. So. You think, well, what are the reasons for this? For one of the leading fishing retailers to have its best ever month as a business, something's got to be going right. Nigel Botherway, of course, is host of Fisherman's Blues. These days on TalkSport 2 for 2 hours, extended show on TalkSport 2. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon, boys. How are we doing?
Very good, thank you, Nigel. I did sort of say that just around 1 o'clock, I just sort of threw it away, and I'd not even thought of it before. Has it got anything to do with Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer? And I know you've absolutely loved the show, and there are many good fishing shows on TV that you often talk about on Fisherman's Blues, but this is kind of transcendent. This is real mainstream telly, isn't it? And I wonder if it's had a kind of an uplift.
Oh, I'm certain that it has. It's interesting because I'm sat fishing on a lovely lake in France right now.
Right.
The owner, Darren Cairns, I was chatting to him this morning, and he was telling me that his wife, Mandy, is suffering withdrawal symptoms now that Mortimer and Whitehouse isn't on anymore. Angling, we are struggling. I mean, there's a big campaign trying to get Britain fishing because rod lice, as you probably know, you know, angling was always billed as Britain's biggest participant sport, which it was. But it's slipped to sixth now. And, you know, rod licence sales have dropped below the million mark for the first time. They're down to 800,000. But I'm convinced, if the angling trade wanted to get together to boost fishing, you know, the number of people fishing, then you couldn't have come up with anything better than Mortimer and Whitehouse.
Yeah. I agree. It's a wonderful show. And the one on the River Wye that started this series, I mean, you talk about the Wye a lot on the show, but when you actually see it for yourself, if you're not a fisherman, you realise the appeal of this. It's so beautiful. And the show doesn't pretend, does it, Nigel, that it's easy to catch fish. They show you how it is, that you've really got to have some skill.
And Bob isn't... And the other thing as well that maybe is kind of Bob starts his whole thing. He'd not fished for years. He's a bit of a novice, isn't he? Mm. So he's kind of... You're rediscovering the sport through his eyes, effectively, aren't you?
That's right. And that's what I said to him and Paul. I think, you know, I doubt if there's anybody their sort of age who didn't fish as a boy, but then, you know, football, rugby, cricket, girls, beer, whatever, work, real life came along, and they haven't touched a rod for years. And I'm convinced that watching those two, they're thinking, do you know what? I could get back into that.
Yeah. I mean, this company, Angling Direct, they say 30 shops. I know you're often on the show, you're bemoaning, you often say, I popped down, there used to be a fishing tackle shop there, that's gone. My old mate X, he's just had to close his shop. And the picture that you sometimes get is that it's kind of dying out from a retail point of view, but it's clearly working for these guys, isn't it?
That's right. They've got a very successful big business module. I mean, they opened a new store in Milton Keynes last weekend. They're opening one in Wigan this weekend. You know, the empire continues to grow. Over 600 people turned up for the opening day in Milton Keynes. Mm. Yeah, they sold 100,000 reels last year. It's, you know, it's amazing. I think for manufacturers and retailers, one of the big things, of course, is online, and online sales open up. You know, Angling Direct sell to over 40 different countries.
Mm. But the shows that you talk about, like the Big Show and all that, these are really well attended, aren't they? You know, there's still a huge interest in this thing. I heard you talking last week saying that it's dropped to sixth in the sort of the sports that people do, where people often thought it was the most popular.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's obviously still a huge interest in it.
Yeah, and as I say, I'm sat here now at Blue Dart looking over a lake. And, yeah, like you say, the Wye, where I am now, there's kingfishers. And I think, yeah, there's so many cliches that Mortimer and Whitehouse prove. You know, fishing is an excuse for being there. Yeah, and there's more to fishing than fish, as they prove. I mean, Mortimer and Whitehouse hardly catch a fish, but it doesn't seem to matter because they just have such a lovely time. And like you say, Bob Mortimer getting re-into it. You just see he caught a bass when they're out sea fishing off the Isle of Wight. You could just see how excited he was. And, yeah, that's the great thing about fishing. You know, like you play, you boys, like your football, like your cricket. You know you can win, lose or draw. That's happened before. But with fishing, like any minute now, I could catch the biggest fish in the lake. You know, and it's that what might happen. It's so exciting. And, you know, this is what's great about tackle shops. Mm. you know, you can't get excited going into a shop to buy a pair of shoes. Perhaps some people's wives can, but you know, there's something that brings out the little boy of us in fishing tackle shops.
What I would say, though, finally, Nigel, for beginners, is that, like you said, exactly like you said, I used to fish down on the River Lee. I was talking to Paul Whitehouse about it. We used to go and fish in the same place. When I was a kid, my neighbours, sort of Terry and Lynn, who lived over the road, said, oh, do you want to, when I was a little boy, I was about sort of 7 or 8, you want to come fishing? So I went with them and really enjoyed it. But they were both into their fishing. Terry was a good fisherman and he understood. So he could set me up. He could give me the basics. He could show me how to put, you know, attach the float and know how the reel worked and all this. It's not like buying a football or a cricket bat. You know, you go over the park and you kick the football. You need a little bit of knowledge to get underway. So you do need a little bit of guidance. You probably need someone to sort of ease you into the sport early
on,
don't
you? Well, you can get this in your local tackle shop, whether it's Angling Direct or any tackle shop. They'll always help you. And of course, there's so much online now. And Angling Direct have got a very big online presence with videos of how-tos, etc. So, you know, and when I was a kid, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Whereas now, you know, a couple of keyboard clicks and, you know, you can learn from all the experts and, you know, that so many how-tos and for beginners, you know, it couldn't be easier.
Yeah. Is it any more high-tech than it used to be? Is it still, the basics still there?
I had a high-tech rig in the one I watched last week.
But, I mean, at the top end, I mean, at the beginner's
end, it's still, you know, a worm on one end and a fool on the other.
Yeah.
But high-tech, you know, I'm sitting here now, I've got electric bite alarms, but, you know, you can have bait boats to send your bait out. There's even drones where you can fly your bait out. I mean, it can get as high-tech as you want.
You haven't bought a drone yet then, Nigel? You've not gone for it?
No, I wouldn't trust myself to fly it. I think the thing, I'm sure. And I know certain fishermen that would probably blast it out the sky if I did.
It's interesting
you mentioning you used to go, because I keep saying we should have a Talk Sport fishing day. Take you two boys out fishing somewhere, maybe a couple of listeners.
I'd like to see Andy handling the maggots. I think we might have problems with Andy. If it's a nice cold day, you can put them on his tongue, like some of the old boys used to do when he used to go down. Put them on your tongue, warm them up, please. Do they still do that, Nigel?
No, I don't think anyone calls for that.
I'm not doing that, Nigel. I'm sorry.
Buying a stripe paint that way.
Yeah, it was.
I draw the line there, I'm afraid.
Tartan paint and a long wait. Yeah, the old boy used to say that.
We'll get you some nice, you know, fruit-smelling boilers or sweet corn or something that won't offend you.
Brilliant.
You're back on Sunday, Nigel, are you?
Back on Sunday, 6 till 8.
Okay, lovely. Thanks very much.
Keep
the best.
Up the good work.
Great. Cheers, boys. Bye.
Nigel, by the way, they're out in France, back on Sunday. He's on TalkSport 2 now, Fisherman's Blues. So 6 till 8 for all
the
ladies.
Amazing how much we know about fishing through listening to the show.
Yeah, mainly for the clips. But, you know, it's all done with love, really.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Last week, perusing Twitter, our next guest, one of his friends in the world of comedy, had obviously retweeted something I saw, and it was from a comedian Kay Curdy said, just doing my first live at the Apollo. And I thought, we've knighted him in. He's a big Manchester United fan, as I saw from his Twitter profile. So we've put that right, and he joins us now. Good to see you.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
It's exciting.
What a great buzz, though, to have done a big venue like the Apollo last week. So it's going out this weekend, is it?
No. So it'll be going out in November or December.
Oh, OK. Yeah, but it's in the bank. It's in America. Yeah. Right?
It was an absolute dream come true. So I can't stress enough. Like I said before, like people usually say that as a cliche, like, oh, it was a dream come true. But it honestly was. It, like, you know, when that smoke came out and the thing was going up, I was like, oh, yeah.
Because you've got to use tried and trusted material, presumably.
Absolutely,
you can't
yeah.
be topical if it's going to go out in
no,
November.
Of course, yeah. So I filmed a special back in April, and there's some of the stuff I used from there as well. But it was just a massive, massive reaction. I got some great
We
feedback.
Watched a bit of that before the show. Yeah. It's really, really funny. From Up the Creek. And you telling us an interesting thing about how it came about and why you've done it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking to myself, I know that, you know, I know I'm funny. Like, it's the, I just need to show people. And the best way to do that is how I got onto watching a lot of comedians was through YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of my favourite comedians I watch through YouTube. And I was like, I can't wait around for somebody like a Netflix or an Amazon Prime to just pluck you out of obscurity or whatever. So I thought I'd film on myself, put it out there, and see how people take to it. And the feedback was tremendous, and it was amazing. And
you did your own kind of effective your own special in the style of those Netflix, Amazon Prime specials.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because I thought to myself, I mean, Edinburgh's great for a lot of comedians that go there, but I've predominantly got like a working class and urban audience and whatever. So for them to go over to Edinburgh, it's very expensive. They're probably listening in their vans or whatever, they're not going to have the money to go and pay for 240 quid a night to stay at a travel lodge in Edinburgh to go and watch comedy shows. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, well, for that money, I'll go Ibiza for a week. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's a lot cheaper.
Have you done it yourself, Edinburgh?
Well, yeah, I did do Edinburgh back in 2017. And like I said, it is an amazing experience, but sometimes you've got to know who your audience is. And if I'm trying to get to a lot of young people and a predominantly a working class audience and whatnot, then I don't think it was... I mean, it's the best route for me to have gone down. And I look at other comedians like Mo Gilligan. I was supporting him on tour. He's one of my best mates, and he never did it. But through the power of social media, he was he was able to reach the masses.
So what was the way into comedy? What made you? When did you sort of get into it?
So I mean, the first time I properly got on stage was like 2011, but I didn't really do it properly till about 2014. But it was mainly people just going, whenever I was working at any job, people were always like, you're funny, you should try stand-up. And I was like, you know, but you know, people just say that. It's like a throwaway. Like, you should be a comedian. He's hilarious. But one day I was at a night and I'd followed the guy hosting it. And I told him, I'm thinking of getting into stand-up. How'd you get into it? And I went to his night, and then he was just like, oh, there's been a drop out. Do you want to go on? Do you want to do 5 minutes? And I was like,
did you have 5 minutes?
No. I didn't have...
Just in your back pocket, just in case.
I didn't have a minute. Like, I went on stage, and I don't even want to repeat some of the stuff I was saying, but I got about 2.5 minutes in, and I got a laugh, and I was like, ladies and gentlemen, that's my time. Thank you very much. And it was like, what are you doing? You've got 2.5 minutes left. I didn't know at that point, like, you actually had to do your time. It was like, I just got a laugh and I was like, get me out of here now. But that feeling was crazy. It was because I'd always been very big on public speaking and stuff in school and whatever, but actually like getting on a stage and telling people like me, it's a different
tweet. Though you were telling us in the break there before we came on that you tweeted in 2011 about the
somebody found that this week. Actually, it was a bit mad. I even before I started stand-up, I tweeted, I was thinking about going, one day I'll be on live at the Apollo, but I was just thinking that's a bit of arrogance from a young upstart thinking they're going to get further. But I tweeted that, and then last week it happened, and it was just, well, I mean, some, you know, I don't want to sound like a bit like I've been reading The Secret or something like that, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, just speaking things into existence sometimes, it's and working towards them, it shows that it
that's what they
happen.
Say visualize it.
I mean, a lot of your material is kind of shaped by your story, which I mean I've relied on Wikipedia for most of it, but you kind of left the, you left your country. Your dad left as a kind of refugee.
Yeah, so my parents, I come from a Kurdish background. My parents were part of the resistance. They fought against Saddam Hussein's regime. So my dad was, at my age, he was running at tanks and trying to do all that. So when people go, oh, you're so brave.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't know the half of it, mate. Yeah. Like, my dad doesn't see this as brave. But yeah, so we came over here. I was only 6 months old when we came over in 1990. And we moved to Brixton, South London, and that's what whole story sort of shapes my stand up and stuff as well.
But, culturally, how does that where does comedy fit into that?
Well, do you know what Kurds are quite funny people. Like mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. seeing like a lot of my family back home, all my cousins, like it's just they're hilarious. But it's the idea of a stand-up comedian doesn't really exist as such.
Yeah.
So my parents tell people I'm a public speaker. Like, like the idea of like going on a stage and trying to make people laugh, it just doesn't exist. So it's a bit weird trying to explain to people. You're like, I'm sort of like an actor. Yeah. It's like that. But I don't get on behind camera. But it's a bit weird. But my parents are coming round to it. When I told them about the Apollo, they're like, all right. What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to be rich now?
Well, who knows?
Maybe you will. And the show's called Curd Your Enthusiasm, isn't it? The YouTube one.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just type that
into
YouTube.
It's funny. I won't spoil the joke of why it is and what you do all yeah. that. But it's a very, very good line.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's called Curd Your Enthusiasm. It's up on YouTube, so you can go and watch it. It's an hour long and it's in 4K. So you you can put it onto your TV and watch it, and it won't feel like it's just been recorded on an iPhone or something.
So why Manchester United for you?
Well,
then?
When I was young, I was probably a glory hunter. I'll be honest.
That searing honesty there. We rarely get that.
When you're about 5 or 6 years old and you're seeing who's winning and you're seeing Eric Cantona and you're seeing David Beckham on TV, you're going, well, yeah, I'll do this. It was either that or Ian Wright and.
Well, you know, it's a lot of people. Obviously, Brixton's a big Arsenal era, isn't it?
Well, really? I mean, a lot of my friends when I was growing up were Arsenal fans. Yeah. So, and at the time, it was the massive Arsenal-Man United rivalry. So, yeah. I'd have to hold my own against that as well. But yeah, I mean, I remember one of my best sporting moments was a treble, and I remember being 9 years old watching that just in my living room, like jumping up and down with my brothers, like going crazy.
And they're United fans as well, are they?
Yeah, well, they're United fans as well, but they're, I think as they've grown up, they're not into as football as much as I am anymore.
Right.
But I still try and go and see a game every now and again.
Do you play?
Not anymore. Got injured. Yeah. Hamstring injury, mate.
Really? That's about six weeks. Really debilitating 6 week hamstring injury. Put me out of the game forever.
Yeah, exactly. I could have played for Chelsea, but I got injured. Knee injury, mate.
Yeah. You hear that a lot from people.
Yeah. Exactly. Everybody could have played for Charlton. do you know what? I was a fat kid growing up, man. So right. I'd sort of like, I'd be like, I'll play in defence. I wouldn't have to.
Normally
move.
In goal.
No. I just had a vision of my dad going, you're a goalkeeper. I didn't bring you to this country to be a goalkeeper. I like trying to play football. I mean, do you know what? But I've realised, I'm 29, but I realised about, like during this summer, we went to play football and we were playing for an hour, and I woke up the next day, I had back pains. I was like, how do people do this? I used to do this without warming up and warming down, and now it's just like...
Age.
I need a week to recover.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And United now? How are you feeling about life under...
I mean, well, listen, like, it's a transition period, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, do you know what? I feel like... This is what being a football fan's actually about now. I think for years we were just spoiled. It was just like, you just win a game. That's just what happens.
This is testing your resolve, isn't it?
Yeah, man. True. And it's like when you're seeing Matic and McTominay in midfield, you're like, oh my God, like what's going to happen today? But
if you're a self-confessed glory hunter, then...
When I was younger.
Feel free to say... No, I've had enough of United.
I mean, like I said, it probably started as glory hunting when I supported them as a 6 year old. It's been ingrained in me now. Yeah. Like I'm a Man United fan. But I mean, it's been a tough 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've started watching NBA. I've started just anything to try and get a winning feeling back. But I was looking at some stats the other day. We're like the fourth most expensive team in Europe, and we still can't. getting a Champions League, which is dire.
So where can we see you in action then, Clint?
Well, I'm going to be all over London. I'm trying to organise a tour for next year, hopefully. So keep an eye out on my socials. If you just follow me on Twitter, KAEKURD, there'll be some exciting announcements soon. There's a lot of stuff I can't talk about in development and stuff at the moment. So just catch me on Twitter and Instagram. It's all the same.
Brilliant. Yeah, lovely to see you. Yeah,
thank you for having me, man. Absolutely, will do.
All the very best.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We'll be chatting a little bit later on about William Webb Ellis, the man, of course, who is said to have effectively invented the game of rugby. But there's a bit of doubt has been cast on that.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll find out why, and maybe some of the reasons why he is credited for that. Also, Mark Housley, former Premier League referee, joins us. Champions League gets underway, and we've been hearing all the time, oh, it's going to be different for the players playing Champions League. VAR works very differently to the way it works in the Premier League. Well, we're about to find out.
It'll be a bit of an adjustment, I think.
Yeah.
Especially on the old handball situation.
That's right. We'll get some odds on tonight's football from Amy Jones at Paddy Power. And lots more besides. So we're going to talk a bit of Valencia, who are a club in a bit of a state at the moment.
Well,
the manager
we'll
has gone.
Let's wait and see. Well, they are off field. They are in a right
state. The players are...
They've got good players, and, you know, it is the Champions League. You would expect them to put...
They're low, though, Andy. You know, you've got them at a good time.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll find out why later.
I hope that's right. But you don't want to sort of, you know... No. Big mistake to be complacent. Mm. You know.
Whenever an incident happens, as happened last night in the Aston Villa-West Ham game, where two players... have a bit of a coming together, El Ghazi and Tyrone Mings. You always get the box out. There's always the other five or six examples of when players did this. So I wonder if, I mean, you won't find David Batty, he's fallen off the face of the earth, but Graham Lasso's phone would have been red hot today. And just been saying, well, I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest. Yeah. They'll all be on the phone.
Have we rung him?
Anybody? No, we didn't. Because we knew he'd say no. But they've been going through the catalogue of on-field incidents. There's not been that many on-field. A lot of them have happened on training grounds.
Yeah.
There was one
John Hartson, of course.
One that came up was Barry Fry and Jeff Astle. Barry, apparently, when Jeff was playing for Dunstable. I think Bestie played there as well, didn't he, Dunstable? And apparently it was a hot cup of tea. Barry lost the plot. And I think they kicked the tray of teas out of Jeff's hands and it all went over and got a bit scalded.
Good Lord.
So, but I don't think Barry did that on purpose. But another one, Derek Hales and Mike Flanagan, when they were both playing...
Oh, that's a famous one.
Though. Yeah, both playing in 1979 in the FA Cup against Maidstone. And Flanagan... wasn't happy, apparently.
But they were a great partnership, so
they
were. It was odd, that.
But Hales failed a pass to him, and words were exchanged over, actually, a missing part of Derek's anatomy, apparently, they say.
They seem to be the two
the
things.
The others in the Albert
not,
Hall.
Not tracking back and failure to find a bloke in a better position, being greedy.
Didn't pass to him. It makes you wonder if Mane and Salah were a bit angrier, whether they could have kicked off. But apparently...
Mane was pretty angry.
Hales was so upset about this this comment about missing part of his anatomy that he had a full-scale tear-up with
Mike Flanagan. I think what happened last night, El Ghazi didn't like being told. Nobody likes being pulled up in public like that.
Put a shift in.
Yeah. If he'd said to him at half-time, he didn't track back there, so nothing would have happened. But I think the fact that Ming so clearly was angry with him, and then he sort of felt a bit humiliated because I think he realised he was in the wrong, you know. And then we're all the same. When we know we're wrong, we sort of tend to lash out.
Would have been pretty tight to have sent El Ghazi off. But as we'll ask Mark Housley, because you do feel that if it happens between teammates, unless it's a mad one, like the infamous Newcastle one, or Batty and Graham Lasso, when you have to do something because it's so obvious.
It's true. Talking of batter, what a segue this is.
That's good.
Congratulations to, it's actually batter, it's breadcrumbs. The Bavarian village of Menkofen has made the world's largest pork schnitzel.
Is it really?
A 1,200 kilo monster.
I thought you were the world's largest pork schnitzel.
Well, not pork. I'm more
veal. Okay, sorry about that.
The heck would carpet a two-bedroom flat. So if you're thinking of...
Why would you want to carpet a two-bedroom flat with schnitzel?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the size of it. Better than a football pitch, I suppose.
You're going to be able to tuck that under the old gripper. Because I mean, you'd know this, Andy. You were a carpet fitter for a while.
Well, a day.
Quinton Wilson's new show, Britain's Least Likely Carpet Fitter. Of all the jobs that Andy Jacobs tried in his life, accountant, I can see that.
I like that knee thing that you use.
Clothes shop owner, I can see that. But I cannot see you laying a carpet.
No,
I can't see
probably
you.
Not.
I wouldn't let you loose with a Stanley knife. I really wouldn't.
No, definitely.
How long did you do it for?
A day.
Well, not really a job then.
Not really a job.
Not
no.
really
I've done a
job.
Few like that. A giant metal tray was filled with 15,000 litres of cooking oil.
Oh, yeah.
And heated by 40 gas burners.
What's this for? Oh, to make the. You're still doing the schnitzel.
Not to make a carpet.
Yeah.
To make the schnitzel.
Yeah.
Which beat the previous record weight, who cares, of 550 kilos.
Mm.
It was cut up and sold in bread rolls for €5 each. So quite a lucrative thing in the end.
Nice.
Good. Alex Gorry, the tipster in the stuff.
I know you're a
change
fan,
your ad, for goodness sake. He's still being told, it's 3 weeks now, he's still being told to get on those same two horses by that same bloke. He likes both horses a lot and has been told to get on, get off.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And I loved Ali Rossi's quiz show. I always like quiz show doughballs of the week in his column in The Sun, but this one's incredible. This is where he basically, he takes answers that people have given on quiz shows on TV that are incredible. In Disney's 1937 animated film, asked Ben Shepherd on Tipping Point, Snow White shared a house with how many dwarves? And the bloke answered, 101.
Really?
Brilliant, mate. Well done.
I don't know if you've seen this. Our old mate Ian Wright has taken to social media to send out a bit of footage of his grandson. I'll take it he's Sean's lad. It'd be Bradley's lad. I think it'd be... well, I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's one of his grandkids.
One of his grandkids.
And I think chip off the old block is the phrase that comes to
really?
Mind. He picks the ball up on the left wing, slaloms through about sort of six or seven kids, and then sticks it in the corner.
Well, that's good.
So there's another one coming through, really, from the right clan. But looking at that, he looks a really good little player.
Yeah.
So, proud granddad, Wrighty has said, so...
And Brooklyn Beckham, who the gossip columnists absolutely love, and he has got something about him. There's no question that women seem to really go for him. But this one on the weekend, they were talking about after the fashion show that we mentioned yesterday, and they said he has his eye on glamorous Team GB synchronized swimmer Genevieve Randall. But this is, a source said, Brooklyn and his mates cheered Genevieve as she showed off her synchronized swimming skills in the club's rooftop pool. And once she cooled off, things heated up.
Oh, did they?
Apparently. And Brooklyn spent the entire afternoon and evening charming her. As Genevieve left, Brooklyn told her he'd follow her on Instagram and make good on his promise the very next day.
Well,
they follow each other, so he may have already slipped into her DMs. You think, we've been stalking him. How do you know
slipped
that?
Slipped into her DMs? It wouldn't be the same size, would it?
Direct messages.
Oh, I'm
well
with you.
Know.
I'm sorry. I thought, nice Dr. pair of boots.
Martin's situation.
So is that you? Is that effectively
so.
You,
Why
Andy?
Not,
have you
yes.
got nothing more to add
well,
to
Well, happy birthday to Sir Sterling Moss. That's not an easy
You're never
going to
get out of that. But that doesn't take us anywhere, does it?
No, it doesn't take us anywhere other than he's 90 years old. Incredible man.
Do people update that when you get stopped by the police and you're speeding? Do people still say, who do you think you are, Sterling Moss?
No
do
one
they,
says that,
Do you think
no.
they go down... These
They've
days
been
they
right
go
through.
Lewis Hamilton?
Oh, yeah. Who do you think you are, Damon Hill? Who do you think you are, Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah.
It's Lewis Hamilton now.
It's probably in the police handbook. The phrase you have to use over the years. If you find an old one, it probably is. Do you think you are Sterling Moss?
Yeah,
you have
not?
To say that.
Good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Tomorrow we'll be reflecting on Liverpool. We'll be joined by the author of a new book on Tottenham's run at the Champions League final. Of course, they're in action tomorrow.
And so, I'll be looking for a Hoover that works on a schnitzel carpet.
Of course you will. Yeah. All that. And more tomorrow. Have a fine evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.